Today's session starts a new section of homework entitled Using God's Word in Everyday Life. You can find it on the homepage or just follow along as you listen. We're building a foundation for how we can use God's Word by starting with the problem of our own words. James 3:16 says the tongue is a fire. In fact, he takes an entire chapter of his book to remind us what a mess our mouths can get us into. I so often fall into sinfulness through the things I say. I'm praying that as you listen today, God will minister to your heart. There are so many ways we can do better, be better, through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are like me, starting with words is a really good place. Lord, will you show us how today we can please you with our words? Help us to see you and know you and glorify you to those around us, especially when we speak. In your Son's name and for his glory, amen. You are amazing, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, for the opportunity to study it, for brains that work and absorb your information and your teachings. God, I just thank you for the blessings of just being able to really learn. Let us not take that for granted. And Lord, I just ask you to increase your Holy Spirit in this time and this space as we yearn for you, as we reach for you. Would you just allow us to find you in the small, tiny way our human minds can conceive. Please bless this time, bless our study, bless our words, and let them be glorifying to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Using God's word in everyday life. This week, sitting with Aaron, Caroline, Amy, and Cassie. And really, our key scripture is Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, which I'll read. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. God asks us to know his word for many reasons. He wants to lead us in his perfect plan for our lives so that we can live our lives to the fullest. Through his word, he provides us with revelation, conviction, guidance, wisdom, strength, power, confidence, courage, and comfort. We have spent some time getting familiar with the benefits of knowing God's word. We've explored the power of his word. We've also looked at the power of our words and how they can impact our lives and the lives of those around us. We've come a long way. I'm blessed to know that God has been working in your life through this study of his word. Now it's time for all the information to come together in our everyday lives. This is where many believers get stuck. The precepts in the Bible are noble and desirable, but how do we convert what we read into how we live? In the homework, there's a quote from Donald Alexander, noted in Christian Spirituality. The practical dilemma is obvious. Sin seems to reign with unconquerable power, and yet we are commanded to put off the old self with its sinful practices, from Ephesians 4:22, and work out our salvation with fear and trembling, from Philippians 2:12. But are we being commanded to do something we are unable to do in actuality? He goes on to remind us that the continuing struggle against sin, the flesh, and the devil cannot minimize the triumph of Christ's death and resurrection. At the cross, sinners are set free, free to live. We must keep this liberating dimension of the gospel in mind as we attempt to resolve the tension in our call to practical holiness. I love that phrase, practical holiness. Mm-hmm. It really sums it up. We can rest assured of our ability to accomplish this practical holiness by the words from Jesus' own mouth. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's from John 15, verse 8. With realistic intentions and abilities in mind, there are some practical ways to move the Bible into our everyday lives. We will spend time in each over the next few weeks. One way has already been infused into this study. In the homework, if you're doing the homework, I know that some listeners just listen, and that's perfectly okay. But in the homework, we've asked that you memorize scripture. So we're going to review some of the scriptures that we memorized in our previous weeks together. Caroline, would you please read Jeremiah 33:3?
Yep. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know.
Amy, will you read the Psalm 119:105?
Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Cassie has 1 Corinthians 2:9-10.
However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
Aaron has Job 27:3-4.
As long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood and my tongue will not utter deceit.
And I have 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. One of my favorites. And I just mentioned to the ladies, we're going to do an entire series on this passage. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We've spent a considerable amount of time understanding why and how to know God's Word. The need for our understanding and dependence on Scripture is one of the most heavily repeated themes in the Bible. Deuteronomy 11:18-21 assures us that to fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds is the biblical prescription for success. Joshua 1:8 affirms this promise, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. There's only one way that we can be sure to have God's word on hand in any circumstance, and that's memorizing it. This may seem like a daunting task, but you can be assured of two things. First, God will honor your effort to join so completely to his word, and the process of memorization will be easier than usual. Second, you will find yourself using your memory verses several times through any given day, which will build a desire to equip yourself with more. Just to get you started, I will share with you one of my favorite memorization tips. Since we all have a library of passwords to access our electronic lives, I use this as an opportunity to memorize scripture. For example, I might change my email password periodically to the address of the scripture verse I'm attempting to memorize at the time. I find it more difficult to remember the location of the scripture than the verse itself, but I know it's equally as important. So I use the location to remind me of the verse. As I log onto my email with Exodus 9:16, I recite out loud, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. I have found this to be a useful memorization tool. Here are some others I use. Writing the verse over and over. Remember when your teacher or your mom would make you write something 100 times to be sure you didn't forget it. Maybe I'm dating myself, but I can remember doing this many times. Employ this method in scripture memorization. Keep a pile of 3x5 cards in or near your Bible. When you find a verse you want to memorize, write it several times once on each card. Keep one for yourself and give the extras to friends, your spouse, or put it in your kid's lunchbox. The second is visual memorization. Write a verse, perhaps on one of those 3x5 cards, and put it on the treadmill while running or on the dashboard of your car for the day. Maybe even tape it to the steering wheel or the bathroom mirror. Use it to mark your place in your day planner or a book you're reading. Seeing it over and over again helps to commit it to memory. And last is reciting. How did you learn the alphabet? The same as the rest of us, I'm sure. We all know the song. You probably know the lyrics to hundreds of songs that you've enjoyed over your lifetime. For some reason, when we put words to song, they're easier to remember. Try this with Bible verses. Pick a tune, pick a verse, and have some fun. My kids and I enjoy doing that. We get silly, but it gets the job done. And you know, if you're desperate, there's a lot of kids' CDs that actually have Bible verses that they sing. So if you're able to tolerate that's a good way. That's a good way to make it happen. After you've started the process, you will find more and better ways to get the job done, but these might be helpful to start. The primary reason for memorizing scripture is to have it on hand, so in the day-to-day living of our lives, we can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is a huge component in moving the power of God's word into our practical lives. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul goes on to remind us that our daily struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul describes this armor in the following verses. We're going to popcorn it. So in the homework, we have fill in the blank for the armor of God. There are six pieces of the armor of God.
Belt of truth.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Sandals of readiness from gospel of peace.
The shield of faith.
The helmet of salvation.
Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Cassie, what does verse 15 say? The sandals of what? Because I just readiness. Have peace. Oh, readiness.
From gospel of peace. I kind of...
Oh. Okay, so we're going to put readiness and peace in there.
Because mm-hmm. I have the same thing.
Okay. Okay, yeah. That's good. I'm glad that you added that component. So there are five articles of armor that could be classified as defensive. A belt, a breastplate, your shoes obviously protect your feet. The shield protects you. The helmet protects you. But one that is offensive or useful in an aggressive rather than a protective way. Which article of armor is used in offense or proactively?
The sword of the Spirit, or the word of God.
Exactly. So Paul is purposeful. Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
A little dead air there. Thanks for jumping in. Paul is purposeful in this distinction. There's no more powerful weapon at our spiritual disposal than the word of God. When we wield it appropriately with instruments, our mouths, that are sanctified, we can move mountains. A few sessions ago, we did an entire section on sanctifying our instrument of our mouth. And so if you haven't heard that, might be worth going back to listen to that one. It's super important. But during the course of the day, there are plenty of traps set by the enemy of our soul to derail and distract us from a God focus. As we face these challenges, big and small, we can be sure there is a scripture verse to get us through. If we've memorized enough of the Bible's staples, as I call them, we can call upon scripture in an audible voice. Remember the power of the spoken word over those kept in thought. And combat those elements that try to take us out of our game. Wouldn't it be nice to have more control over the ups and downs of the day? Wouldn't it be comforting to have the joy the Bible talks about, even in hard times? When we learn to wield the power of God's word, we can. Several verses that we looked at together. We looked at both when God spoke the world into existence, when Jesus spoke healing or spoke life, and we just used that as an implied lesson on the power of words spoken out loud versus those only thought. Following that session, we talked a little bit about the power of our words. We talked, of course, about the potential for gossip, the potential for, in an OMG society, just using God's name in vain. And we talked about crude language. And, of course, one of the things that we really focused on there was James 3, 1-12, and verse 6 specifically, can fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? The idea being that we need to sanctify our instrument, our mouth, as we come to the Lord in prayer or claim his scripture over our lives or a situation at the time. It's not logical for us to think that this unsanctified mouth that we just used to gossip about someone, or we used to deride someone, or we used to swear, or we said God's name, and 10 minutes later, an hour later, that night, we're coming to God pretending it's a different instrument. It's the same instrument that we use to do those wrong things, and that's the salt water and fresh water, and the lack of logic that those things can come from the same place. I indicated during that time that once I sort of absorbed that concept, it really changed my prayer life. I really saw much more effective intimacy between myself and God that I had sort of, you know, as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you wash the outside of the bowl, but the inside stays dirty. That when I cleaned the inside of the bowl, my offering to God was produce more fellowship between us. I mean, God doesn't turn away from me just because I said a bad word, but when I was intentional about understanding how my words could be impactful in my relationship with Him, not just in my outside relationship with others. Or, you know, of course, there's ripple effect. If I'm gossiping, that impacts my ability to influence people for the gospel. And if I'm swearing, if I'm saying, oh my God, instead of oh my gosh, those things, people absorb them around me, but I had to become really intentional about understanding that was impacting my fellowship with Him. And He so honored that when I really became intentional about just taming my tongue from that James passage, in more ways than the surface level of what that James passage covers. And then, you know, recognizing that that same mouth is using Scripture and claiming Scripture and wanting to pray boldly and wanting to make an impact in my life and the lives of those around me, and lining those two things up made a huge difference for me. So what I asked in the homework was apply that understanding to this week's lesson. So if we accept, and I hope that we can, that the sanctification of the instrument of my mouth matters to God, how does that apply to Bible memorization and claiming Scripture? I kind of gave it away when I was explaining, but can you guys weigh in on that?
I kind of feel like you can't really move that far forward in your memorization of Scripture or even living in God's Word if you haven't started with the basics. Which I'm totally guilty of not, you know. And I just keep coming back to, and it's related, but it's not related. It's just kind of the same relationship in my head of my word with my children, just like God is my parent, you know, and of course my children's parent. I have to watch the words I use with my children. You know, do you know what I mean? Am I making any sense? And then it's I can't expect them to live a godly life or to be the kids that I raise them, I hope, to be if I am sometimes choosing words at them in fits of temper or impatience or, you know, or that doesn't. So it's kind of, I guess, the same relationship in my head. Like, I can't. I don't know if I'm making
it. No, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same. You're just giving us another way where how we use our mouth can impact the whole sanctification process in us. Mm-hmm. And that's why James says what he says. The mouth is a fire. It is hell. It's you know, of course, and we're going to talk about this when we cover the Second Corinthians 10 passage in that big study that I was just mentioning, which talks about our thought process. Of course, everything streams from the thought process. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a filter between the mouth, like what's happening in my head and what's happening coming out of my mouth. And you're just bringing, I mean, I think it's very, I appreciate your vulnerability and bringing that as another element that we need to be thinking about, because there are a zillion, but you know, some of the most relatable are some of the ways that we can get to work right away. It's hard, but what I'm promising is that it's so worth it. You know, when I stop yelling at my kids, or someone said the other day, even in our interactions with our husbands, although Cassie is not yet in that place, or friends, how can I be sanctifying my mouth? Just look, I have so much sanctification to do of my whole self, and it's a huge process, and never going to be done this side of glory. But if I just take one little piece at a time, maybe one relationship at a time, you start with the kids, maybe someone starts with their best friend or a husband. I have friends who aren't believers. I had to focus on that little segment of my life because it was easy for me to be less godly with them than I was with my godly friends. And I have to stay the same person. And my speech has to stay the same. And my speech patterns have to stay. My habits of speaking have to stay the same, no matter who I'm socializing with, or else I'm not mature enough to be socializing with them, as sad as that may be. You know, I'm talking to Sophia right now about, she's getting ready to go into middle school, and the choices that she makes in friends and how they can impact her. And I'm 42, I still have to sort that out, you know? Is this friend influencing me in a godly way? Mm-hmm. And if not, can I withstand it? There's two questions there. And if I can I withstand it, comes to what we're talking about. Can I control my mouth and make sure that it stays sanctified during my time with this group inside the four walls when nobody else is listening but my husband and my children? Whomever. So I really love that you brought that to the fore, because it's not one I had really thought about.
Well, and I guess that's, like, you just hit on it. It's the comparison. I can't sit here for 2 hours and talk about having, you know, sanctification and talk about that and then go pick my kids up and, you know, right away. It's work. It's work, you know. Because it's so easy to fall back into habits, and even, you know, and with friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard, it's work, it's mm-hmm. constant work.
It is. I will say also, though, it gets easier. You know, like anything else, with practice and intentionality. You know, I really had to make, I don't want to give too much away, because if they ever hear this recording, but we have a regular occasion to get together with some of our non-believing friends. I'm just going to leave it at that. And so it's like once a month we get together. And so once I started seeing the habits in myself that came out among that group, I just became a little more intentional. And I thought, okay, preparing myself to go into this situation, asking my husband to keep me accountable, offering to keep him accountable, and just, I say intentionality so much, but truly, so much comes down to that. Just being aware, cognizant of this is the situation, this is how it can impact me, and here's what I need to do to make sure that I protect myself in this environment. And it actually does become easier, because that's what I was saying about the memory verses. God honors when we seek after him like that. When we really say, God, I want to do better. I want to dig up under this behavior. Will you dig up under it with him? He's the gardener. He prunes us. He wants to. So our willingness only will be met with his faithfulness. And it really becomes a lot easier. I know it's hard. I see even on your face where you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling very convicted right now. But it is hard. We all go through it, but it gets easier when you become aware of it and then become purposeful about
habit.
Mm-hmm. And just one section at a time. No one says you have to sanctify everything that comes out of your mouth tomorrow. You start in one spot, the spot that matters the most to you, and you say, or you ask God, what's the spot that matters the most to you? Where do you want me to start this work? And let him speak into your heart and say, okay, let's do this together. And once you get that one conquered, that little niche, then you feel empowered to conquer the next one, whatever it may be. I have a friend whose English is her second language, and she's so funny. She's from Dominican Republic. And she's got that Sofia Vergara thing going on. She's very glamorous, and she has that same accent. And we talk about the things of God a lot. And her faith, frankly, I can't speak into her faith, but she has a great deal of faith. She's been through cancer, and she's a survivor. And she, I've never met anybody who does not worry. And I know it's partly cultural. It's partly how she's wired up, and it's partly her faith. And so it's nice if you're wired up to be a faithful person and not worry about stuff. I'm not wired that way. But she always astonishes me. She recently had, since I didn't say any names, I'll say she recently had a relapse, and I was freaking out. I was crying. She has small children, and she's was fine. And I'm thinking, is she on meds? How is she not? You know, because she said, you know what? I just can't worry. If it's my time, it's my time. And God knows what's going to happen, and I can't worry. It's the doctor's job to worry. I'll just do what they tell me, and I'm not going to worry. And so in that way, to me, she's an amazing example of faith. And do I think that she's living her whole worldview that way? I'm not sure. I don't know her well enough. I'm not going to judge. But we were having a conversation, and it just naturally occurred that I was sort of talking to her about, she says, oh my God. And I said, I have to tell you, it hurts my ears a little when you say that. And I wonder if you would mind, just even when you're around me, just do you mind saying, oh my gosh? Because have such an important relationship with God that I don't want to, I want to respect his name, and I want to encourage the people around me to respect his name. That was a little tricky because you don't want to make people feel like you're being judgmental. So we got into this whole conversation, and I'm going to try to, she said, oh, so I should not say, oh my God. And I said, well, you know, I think that's between you and God. You know, it's not for me to say, but I'm asking you as a courtesy to me. And we had this long conversation, and I don't know if she adopted it or not, but I do it with kids that come into the house. My girl's friends come into the house. That's a big one for me. Everybody says it. It's very easy. Mm-hmm. It rolls off the tongue. And I just tell them, you know what? When you're in my house, that's just something we don't say. That's language we don't use. And if you don't mind, I'm very respectful about it, but I want the kids to know, just plant the little seed. That's something may not be right with that. That might not be okay. That might not be as okay as the world makes it out to be. And that's tricky. You know, you never want anybody to feel like you're judging them. But each of us can kind of look down the list and ask God, what are the ways that you would have me start this process? And every time I ask that question, there's going to be an answer. None of us are going to figure it out fully. But it does get easier.
I'm thankful again for Caroline's vulnerability. She exposed a way we can sanctify our mouth that I hadn't even thought of, though I should have. I was thinking about bad language, but she was thinking about hurtful words. Can either of these things be glorifying to God? Or, as James says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? How can my testimony today be tarnished by my language yesterday or tomorrow? How can my prayers tonight be impacted by my bad language earlier today? This is hard to do, cleaning up our words, but we can do it because Jesus promises, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I will pray for you this week, and you pray for me too, okay? See you next time.